song with you. That's how I've been feeling for about 23 years. Change. About to change. Gospel changed.
Yes.
Phew. Come on, this isn't, it's not a survival kit. The gospel's not a survival kit.
That's right.
We've pretty much sold the gospel as a way for God to take care of us and help us make it. Whatever that means. You're not trying to make it.
That's right.
He comes to live inside of you. And when he does that, he brings who he is and sets up camp on the inside of you.
Yes.
His love, his nature. He changes your perspective, your motive, your reason for being. It's a total change. It's a transformation. For far too long, we've got tricked into preaching the gospel in a way that it's just what he does for us, instead of how he can change our life and make us look a little more like him.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's the whole purpose of the cross. I could give you scripture after scripture that teaches us that this, but somehow we slipped into a message that was all about us getting something instead of becoming something.
Yes, yes. That's good.
Come on, you can get all your needs met, but if your life isn't changed, how's it going to touch somebody else?
Yes.
You know, you got Jason up here, he's introducing me, and he says, you know, some humbling things, and I'm thinking, well, it's fitting because our lives should be teachers. Our lives should be teachers.
Yeah.
Our attitudes should be teachers. Our perspectives, the way we are on our jobs, in our homes, should be instruction all the time. To teach people the way, to walk in the light as he's in the light. Come on, I found that in my Bible. I read this book. It said that I could walk in the light as he's
yes,
in the light.
Yes.
Woo! That doesn't sound like frustration to me. That doesn't sound like judgment, bickering, backbiting, tension, unforgiveness, offense, mean, angry, dismal, depressed, discouraged, despair. Walk in the light as he's in the light. It says the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eye is single, if you see through truth, if your eye is the narrow way, single, not wide view lens, not yeah, but, well, if, you don't. But if your eye is single, your whole body's flooded with light. It doesn't say unless, of course, somebody just did you wrong and you're working to get over it.
Come on.
Doesn't say unless, of course, somebody just cheated you out of something. Come on, they didn't treat Jesus right.
Right.
But you couldn't change him. Not because he was Jesus, because he was love.
Yeah.
Don't miss the point. Don't make him a special man. What made him special is he's love. I understand he was God, that makes him special. I get that. Don't anybody write me a letter on that. Please don't listen with a critical ear. So folks, just... they listen for one little thing they don't agree with and miss everything that's being said. Don't ever do that to yourself. Listen, they mistreated Jesus horribly.
Yes.
Nobody on this planet has ever lived in a man's body and done more good from the right place without one slant to any of it. It was straight up pure and good, straight up.
Yeah.
And he was constantly bickered against, backbitten against, set up, trick questions, trap questions, nonstop. Always calling his good bad, trying to find what was wrong with what was right.
Yeah.
But you couldn't change him. They killed him for doing nothing wrong. He hangs there and says, forgive them, Father, they're blind. They don't see, they don't understand, they don't know what they're doing.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I respect that, and I want to learn from that. If he said, call no man on earth your teacher, right? Right? Isn't that what you quoted? Call no man, that's Matthew 23. If he said, call no man on earth your teacher, you have one teacher, he's the Christ, then we have to learn from everything about his life. He was treated nonstop wrong and never let the wrong produce wrong in him. He never let men change him. That's why he's still changing men.
That's good. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
See, if life's changing you, then you're not giving life in him. But if the giver of life is changing you, you're giving life. If you're letting life speak louder than truth, you're not free. You're a product of life, not him. If you're just a Christian for things to go your way, you're only as good as it's going. And now your influence is hindered and you're not walking in the light, so you can't reproduce and be productive and bear fruit. See, this whole thing's about you shining. It's about you bearing fruit. And anything that hinders fruit in your life is a deception. It's a lie. Anything that hinders the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You're the best he's got right here in this town. I'm looking at her. You're the roster of heaven. No, you're the best he's got right here in this town. You've opened your heart to believe you're here. I can feel the excitement in the room tonight. Before anything even happened, just the fact that we were all assembled, there was a buzz in the room. It felt good in the room. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Well, I thought he was the light of the world. Yeah, he is. He's in us. And he said, we're the light of the world.
Yeah.
And he said, so let your light so shine before men, so they see your life lived and give glory to the Father.
Yes, yes.
Whew. That don't sound like animosity, unforgiveness, backbiting, heartbreak, frustration. All the things we've learned to call normal that aren't in him.
Right.
All the things we were trained by that he never taught us. If he's the teacher and he didn't teach us, where did we learn it? You don't see him hanging on the cross? Can't believe you bunch of idiots! Serious, come on! I know it sounds funny just because we're putting it in Jesus' mouth, but if it ain't in his, why is it in ours? Come on, he couldn't be saying this stuff if he was just a man. But he was love. He was expressing the truth about God in a man. He was modeling the life we were created to live. That's why he said, follow me. He didn't just say, sing to me. He didn't just say, pray to me when you're overwhelmed. He said, follow me. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe.
Yes, yes.
He's the firstborn among. Sounds like he's making us one. I found it in Romans 8. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son.
Yes.
I found it in Colossians 3, verse 10. He said, we are put off the old man and his deeds. We're going to put on the new man. He's renewed in knowledge according to the image of the very one who made us.
Yes.
I found those scriptures in my Bible. Wow! Come on. He said, you're the light of the world. You're the roster of heaven. You can't let anything infringe on the light. Anything that infringes on the light is a lie against your life. It's a strategy. It's an enemy. You see, yeah, but they did me wrong. Stop. This thing isn't about you. It's about his great name.
Yes.
If you get your eyes on what they did to you, you'll get your eyes off of what he did for you and what he wants to do through you.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you're misguided and you're taking it personal, but you're supposed to give up your life and deny yourself and pick up your cross. But we don't teach it that way. We teach pray and prayer to make sure you go to heaven in case you hit a tree on the way home. No, that's what we teach. That's what we teach.
Come
on. We teach a self-serving, a take-care-of-me gospel.
Yes, come on.
And somehow get permission to stay the same, but we're changed. Phew! I'm not the man I was before. I can tell you stuff that I remember and you'd go, I can't even picture that, but that's because I'm born again. I got his life on the inside of me. He gave me a new attitude, a new perspective, a new reason for being. He gave me a single eye so the light can shine. So when I'm done wrong, I don't live done wrong.
Come on, right?
Woo! If I'm betrayed, I don't live betrayed. Follow him. Let the lights shine. Show men what love looks like. Show men that song, mercy. When they're guilty, mercy.
Yes.
Sometimes you can be busy being so right that you're wrong. Because you're so right that nothing coming out of your life looks like him. And then the only people that understand are the people that are thinking like you. And it changes no one. Just makes people right, people wrong. Well, there has to be a higher grace than that.
Yes.
Has to be a higher way. I think I found it. It's called the way. Who was here when I was here last year? Oh, yeah, you were all here? That's a bunch of you. I said, the reason I asked that, because y'all remember when I set you up and prayed for that half a man?
Yeah.
I set you up good, didn't I?
Yeah.
I was so excited. He wasn't here. I figured I'd pray. I figured something worked. I thought he got healed, grew up into full stature, and walked off or something. And I went down and used the restroom, and he's sitting down there in the corner. So if you weren't here, you don't understand. But they had this half man there. He's just boots and pants. He's just standing there. He ain't got nothing up this way. And I fooled everybody, and I had you all roped in. See, I'm a good fisherman. You guys were like, everybody was gut hooked. They were, you ever catch a big old catfish? He just took it, didn't he? Couldn't miss him if you tried. I had y'all. Some of these ladies were up close to me. Oh, we'll pray. Yeah, we'll pray. I said, okay. I turned to put my hands on this half man. Do you remember that? Well, I just found him downstairs. He never did get healed. He's still walking around half a man. I was teasing these guys. I said, you know, really, the whole reason I came back was to go through that one-lane bridge, that little one-lane bridge. It just fascinates me. You guys have a little old bumpy road. You go through the bridge underneath the tunnel. It's just barely as wide as a car. It's one lane. I don't have nothing like that back home. I was like, I had to come back just to go through that thing. But when I came here, I realized I came through more than that one lane. The hunger here excites my heart. And then I'm going to preach really, really good. You guys are awesome. There is so much hunger in this room. The little bit I already shared, you'd have to be in my shoes to understand what I perceive, but it's just like you guys are like, you're the best he's got. You're the roster of heaven. I'm looking at it. He paid for you to be on the team. I'm telling you, you're the best he's got. He ain't looking anywhere else. He got you. So let your light so shine. Let your light so shine before men. Why? So they get a good look at the Father. Stop interpreting through life and tragedy and circumstances and accidents. They actually get a good look at Father through you. Stop letting life define God when Jesus already did. Come on. Christ in you. In you is the hope of glory.
Yes.
You know what the word glory actually means? Without doing a 3-day conference, which you could pull it off. The word glory very simply means any made seen, realized, or made manifest, or made known attribute of God is the glory of God revealed.
Yes.
Any manifestation of who he is the glory of God.
Yes.
Why? The Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and known and realize.
Yes. Yes.
What a gift. What a humble gift God has bestowed upon us. That he would put his life and his spirit in us so we can shine. I don't think today's the right day to have a bad attitude. I don't think today or any day has ever been the right day to have issues. Let's throw away our life subscription to issues. And then let's just get the language out of us. Will he, will she, will they win it, will I come, will I never, will they, she'll never. Nobody has ever produced life in that arena. We have actually justified staying the same.
Yes.
At the cost of whoever we're pointing to. And I don't see that one time in his life. Not one time. Do I see that in Jesus' life?
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Not just sing to him in need, but to want who he is inside of me.
Yes.
To want who he is coming out of me.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Man, you guys are good. Oh, my God. Goodness, you guys are like sitting ducks. You're doing a sing, you all. You're like, you're the best. Oh, my goodness. You ought to see him. You You guys are the best. Yeah. We're having too much fun. See, you know why we're giggling and laughing? It's not because what we're saying is not so serious. It is so serious, he doesn't want you overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
But laughing's not going to take the seriousness away. It's just a little bit of anesthesia so you don't get heavy. It's just a little Holy Ghost. That's all we're doing. So the more you laugh, the sharper the sword's coming. That's just letting you know. I do this all the time. I know how he works. He loves people. He doesn't want you leaving here going, boy, I got a long way to go. He wants you leaving here encouraged, saying, man, I got answers tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
I got direction. I got a light on the trail. I'm not in the dark anymore. I got somewhere to head.
Yeah.
I'm heading somewhere with this message.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Very strange. If you could just change a little motive in your life, if you could just tweak your perspective and bring it into truth, boom, freedom just follows. Mm-hmm. If you could just change your perspective, if you could just get you to go to bed tonight thinking different than last night, waking up tomorrow with a fresher perspective that's more aligned to truth, he'll manifest himself.
Yes, come on.
It's that simple. This thing isn't so heavy and spiritual. It's spiritual, but it's reachable. It's grace makes it possible. If he can change my eye, he can change my whole life.
Yes, yes.
If he can just get a hold of me so that I really, truly, the best understand, surrender and don't live for my own preferences and my own wants and don't lord my preferences over you to where if you don't align to my preferences, you ain't in. You see what I mean? Where I can just wake up and see you through his eyes and realize you're valuable, you're precious, you're worth his blood, you're worth his life. And not critique you and look at what you should be doing different, but where I guard my own heart, steward my own life, hold myself accountable so I'm walking in the light as he's walking in the light. It's my highest goal. My highest goal is to wake up and walk in the light as he's in the light, to shine every man.
Yes.
My highest goal.
Yes.
Is to be more like him.
Yes.
Because that's how people are going to see him.
Right.
That means I'm waking up, I'm not expecting anything of you. You don't have to do one thing for me to be okay. My life is settled in him.
Yes.
My joy is getting to love you, period.
Thank you, Lord.
See, before that I was needy. Before that you were my excuse for not being okay. Before I was fulfilled in him, you were my reason for being whatever I was. I remember being young saying to the Lord in my mind, Lord, you're like God, right? Like, people are weird. I mean, that was my assessment as a young man. I looked around and I thought, the general population is a little weird. And if you would just tweak them, life would be better. I never thought he wanted to change me. I was sure you had issues. Anybody ever think that way growing up? You get so preference driven that your preference becomes Lord. And then you set your whole life around what you desire and what you prefer. So you have first impressions. You decide quickly who's in, who's out, who you draw close to, who you avoid. Come on, we've all learned to live that way to some degree. Does any of that sound like the Lord?
No.
So we were homeschooled in the wrong school. So we were taught by the fall of man, by the wisdom of the world.
Yes, yes.
So the spirit of this age has trained us, taught us the fall of man. See, Adam didn't just sin in the garden. He took on the nature of the enemy of God. He took on his nature. Pride, and self-centeredness, and self-focus, and self-protection, self-defense, self-justification. Anybody ever move in any of those arenas in their life? Anybody ever say stuff, well, I can't believe what they did to me. Well, that hurt. Well, how would you feel if they... That all happened when he ate that tree, got cut off from love, the source of love. And the nature of the enemy of God came upon him. man became a god unto himself. Let's make sure, guys, and I'm real serious right now. Can you see these things coming on me right now? Real serious. Let's make sure that we don't take this message that's so life-changing and integrate it with that self thing, to where this has something to do with us getting something from him, period, instead of becoming something because of him. He is not my security blanket. He is not just my gift of everlasting life. He is my answer of a new life.
Amen.
If I miss new life, I miss what he paid for.
Yes. Yes.
Come on, if
good.
I miss becoming love, I miss why he came.
Come on.
He came to restore me, redeem me, renew me, and bring me back to original value. Redemption means brought back to original value.
Yes.
He came to restore the truth. That's why he became a lie on that cross. He looked like the prophet.
Yeah.
When I was the prophet. Mm-hmm. And he didn't just die for me. He died as me. When he died, I died. Yes. And when he rose, I rose. And he brought something new with me. And he put his ways inside of me. In the Old Testament, his ways were higher than our ways. Now he calls us to be one. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't separate the old and the new. And we're just so used to failure, and he's so amazing, that we deny the grace that wants to change us. And we think it's humility. Well, he's the Lord. We're just fallen flesh. Well, what about living in the Spirit? What about walking one with Holy Spirit? What about following Jesus? What about being sincere and denying yourself and picking up your cross and really following him? Well, I'd be amazed how grace kicks in and empowers you to be what you couldn't be on your own. Yeah? Come on, let's stop talking out of this thing and call it humility. We say, well, that was Jesus. No, no, he doesn't even want you saying that. He doesn't want you making him some special man in the flesh, because if you make him a special man in the flesh, you can't follow him. You have to see he was love. If you just say, well, that was Jesus, you missed that it was love, and we can follow love. What's the greatest commandment?
Love.
Love the Lord your God with everything you are, and the second is like it. He marries him and makes him one, but he has a one and two for the sake of a list. But what he's saying is they're both the same. When you love others, it's the same as loving God.
Because
how can you love God who you haven't seen? You can't even love those who you have seen. Here's the problem. We see people for what they appear to be instead of what they're created to be. But if you see men for their value and their purpose, your love will abound. And instead of getting mad at them, you'll hurt for them. Instead of being angry, you'll feel merciful. Instead of crying for yourself, you'll begin to cry for them. Why? Because your motives changed. And all of a sudden you realize, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. You realize that people knew who they were, they wouldn't be saying what they're saying and acting like they're acting. And it will break your heart for them, not because of them. Why? Because that self thing has died. And you're not alive for you. You're alive for his great name. Come on, I'm just preaching the simple gospel. You're alive for his great name.
Yes.
Your life gets to bring him glory. Your life gets to reveal who he is through your attitudes, your expressions, and the way you live in the Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
The Bible says if you live by the Spirit in Galatians 5, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's stop making the flesh like some monstrous Pac-Man that can't be fed and fueled and fed enough. And he just got flesh. No. If you live in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then do yourself a favor and stop waking up thinking you're set to fail. Set to just live in the flesh and make a mistake. Yeah. Miss it by 10, by 9, by noon. Come on, let's get our eyes off of that thing. The Bible doesn't teach me that. The Bible tells me to live by the Spirit, to get up and live in righteousness. To understand that he loves me and he's for me and not against me. And I'm not taking a test. Jesus took the test.
Yes,
he passed.
Yes,
he gave me the passing grade.
Yes.
Put his life inside of me and said, follow me.
Woo.
I'm not taking the test. Test is already done.
Amen.
Woo! See, I'm not even asking you to agree with me. Just think about what I'm saying. I just know this. This thing makes you free. And the biggest thing the gospel makes you free from is you. We think people are a problem. We think the devil's the big problem. He just takes what you give him. He plays with what you give him. Jesus said, the ruler of this world cometh has nothing in me. It says, he who keepeth himself, the evil one, touches him not. Come on. Oh, Oh, he can mess with you on the outside, because he's sure if he plays enough on the outside, he'll get on the inside, because every man really loves himself, and he's really a Christian for what God can do for him. That's what the devil believes. Read your Bible. That's what he said about Job. He said, every man's for himself. Nobody loves you. They need you. There's a difference between needing God and loving God. A huge difference. You know how many people turn on him? You know how many people pray all their prayers and get all their little faith books and pray all their promises and then things don't happen the way they're praying and now they ain't even praying? Dead giveaway. They never pursued relationship. They don't understand covenant. They're just in this thing for what he can do for them. And then on the surface, they believe he's failed, and they just reveal their heart was never surrendered in the first place. Come on, the devil thinks he's got us all figured out. He ain't intimidated by this meeting. He's intimidated when you walk in love, when you make peace, when you show mercy.
Mm-hmm.
He's intimidated when you leave here and actually start pursuing to look more like Jesus in your everyday.
Yes, yes.
He ain't intimidated by the temporal shout. He ain't intimidated by the mic and coming up here and doing a little dance of praise. He's intimidated when that's real. When on Tuesday, you got every reason to be upset and you still dance.
That's right.
Come on. Come
on Thursday, in the eyes of men, you have every reason to be offended and you don't even know what offense is anymore. That's what he's impressed by. See, the ruler of this world cometh and has. Why? Because you've surrendered your life to the kingdom of God. And the way you see him is the way you've given yourself. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bible says this in 1 John 4. It's there. It's 1 John 4. It's verse 17. It's there. I read it. You can check it if you want to see if I'm right. But it says, you know that love is perfected in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness in the day of judgment? The Bible says it's a day of dread and fear and trembling. It says men will cry out for rocks and trees to fall on them and destroy them, lest they face the glory of who he is. Why? Because they've lived apart from him and they don't know him and they're overwhelmed by the manifestation of him in that day. That's what it says. It's a day of darkness and gloom. But in 1 John 4 it says, for us, we have boldness. Why? Why would we have boldness? Because I prayed that prayer at the altar when I was 8. No, that's not what it says. It says we have boldness because as he is.
So are we.
The whole chapter says he's love, he is love, he is love. It says if he loved this way, ought we not love one another this way? Just as he is, as he is. Or he is love, he is love. And then it says as he is, so are we
in this
in meaning right now in this moment
yes,
as he is.
Yes.
And then I'm not being mean with theologian because I'm not pointing to any specific theologian. I don't even know the name of one. I'm just talking really in general. But then a theologian will come and tell you you can't live as he is. Because we're just human. But what about the Spirit of God? What about denying yourself, picking up your cross? What about putting off and putting on?
Right.
Did he just write all that for kicks? Because as he
is,
so are we right now living this thing. And when he comes, there's this connection. And who he is alive and well in us. And we have boldness in that day because we've been walking one with him.
Yes.
You want me to give you a very witness scripture that talks like that? It's Ephesians chapter 5. It says, so walk in love as dear... So therefore, as dear children, walk in love just as Jesus loved. It didn't say somewhat sort of like. Just like Jesus loved. And then he gives the secret. He says, who denied himself, gave himself, didn't live for himself, a sweet fragrance and aroma to God. You conduct yourself this way. And just as he loved, you love. See, going to church is good if we understand why. But if going to church is taking the place of why, church is disastrous.
Because
all of a sudden, men's church attendance takes the place of knowing him, and knowing him transforms you. And all of a sudden, you become religious, and you get all this knowledge about God instead of the expression of God through your life. So the knowledge about God in a man's mind has never changed the world. But the knowledge of God through a man's life is an automatic impact. Watch here. Let me explain it this way. Today's a Sunday, traditional American church day. I'm not against going to church. I wish we'd all be a part of a vibrant church and be sharpened and edified and encouraged and stir one another. I really do. I'm not saying one thing about bad about church. What I'm saying is let's make sure we don't become religious and miss why we gather. The reason we gather is to stir one another in love and good works, not to qualify.
Amen. That's right.
Watch. In 2 days, churches will have people in them all across the land. Agreed?
Yeah.
Watch. You can fill every seat in every sanctuary on Sunday, this Sunday, every seat in every sanctuary in the Holy Cross the land, and have a record attendance and make the news, and pastors would be happy and offerings be looking good. Maybe. But watch. Going to church will never change the world.
That's right.
So you fill all them seats and nothing will change. But watch. Becoming love has to change.
Yes.
If we go to church to learn to become love and walk in what he paid for, that'll have impact.
Yes. Yes.
See, people could care less if you go to church. They'll notice if you become the church.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's good.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
See, when you go to church and they know it and your life looks the same in many ways, and some of us think we have to do that to be like compatible and relatable. I don't want my life to look anything like an unbeliever. Nothing like an unbeliever. Till the conviction to the core. He can say, holier than thou. All he wants. That's not my heart. No, I just live sanctified. I ain't walking around with my head stuck up. I'm more holier than thou. But when God sees me, he sees holy. I read Colossians.
That's right.
I read Romans 6. Yay. He sees me blameless and above reproach.
Yes.
So I carry myself with confidence. I have access to God. Yes. Yay, that's really a good day. So they just don't understand that, so they mock and scoff that. If you're not secure in Christ and you're trying to put on a show, you'll take to heart their mocking and scoffing. You won't live in consistency, and your life won't have impact over time. Mm-hmm. Come on, I worked in the workplace. I've walked this out. I got so many testimonies. It is fun to live Jesus. It just freaks people out. Because we've been trained by lies. And then they see somebody walking something different, and they think you're the one brainwashed and in a cult, and they're freaked out by your difference. Oh, my coworkers saw me change. They're like, who'd you get hooked up with? Who brainwashed you? I'd say, my brain is thoroughly washed. Here I am, 23, almost 24 years later. I'm a madman. I just calm down to talk about it. I do. I calm down to teach. Or I'd be like him. I don't even know how you did that. Maybe I wouldn't be like that. I calm down to preach. I'm excited. I'm in love. I don't have a doctrine in theology. That's not what I'm living by. I'm living by a relationship that has a sound doctrine to it. But man, he lets us know it. He lets us be with him. He lets us talk to him. He talks back in our heart and through his word, through impressions. And all of a sudden, to be personal, my relationship with the living God. And you get that going. Yes, sir. And you go to work, you look different. Now, if you're just praying for him to hold your family together and keep your kids on the straight path and make sure your spouse is lined up, then you probably got your eyes on all those things, wondering if it's working and where is he at. Hello. So you don't pray those things? I rarely pray those things. If I feel like there's something needed to be clipped or covered or protected, I pray to know him more, to look like him more, to manifest him within my family and my sphere of influence, and my comings and goings, that somebody would meet up with me and get a really good look at him. That's what I pray. I pray that stuff. And when I'm praying that stuff, guess what I found? that all that other stuff is working out fine.
Yeah.
Like there's so much grace on every faucet of your life when you're living for His will. Like a lot of our prayer lives would drastically change. Like the whole need stuff list
wouldn't even be there. Because you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things necessary to walk that out.
Yes, yes.
All these things shall be given. Do you get it?
I don't talk about this much. I don't know why I'm talking about it here. Probably because you can really handle it. Because people, they don't hear sometimes to be encouraged. They hear to be compared. And then they tend to think, oh boy, count me out. I've been a Christian in June, only 24 years. I don't know when I prayed a needs list to God. I don't know when I prayed except for asking for more of Him and thanking Him at times for protection over my family. I don't. All the stuff that people ask me to pray when I used to do a lot of altar stuff, I'm serving the ministry to people that would ask me, I never prayed none of those things for myself. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Because He taught me different. He taught me to not think for myself and not to seek for myself and not to love my own life unto death, to love His life in me. And all of a sudden I saw this grace in every area that I cared about. And I saw grace over every person I cared about. And all of a sudden I had provision and protection and never even thought about it.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Never asked God for finances in my life, ever. Ever. I have not one knowledge of one prayer for finances. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask for a job. Thank you for providing. See, I'm more thank you that you provide. God, I so appreciate the way you love me. See, when I say that to the Lord, He knows exactly what I'm saying because I know what I'm saying, so I know He knows. Lord, I just so appreciate the way you love me. What I'm thinking is, man, just the hand you have on my kids, even when they're thinking wrong things, the grace I see full circle bringing things around, just the provision, just the things that go without saying that I'm realizing right now, man, you warm my heart in a thankful way. Thanks for being so good. Yes. I just muse like that with the Lord when I'm driving. I'll be like, whoa. Yeah? So I'm constantly kingdom-minded then. I'm not just, I'm not wearing my prayer list on my countenance. I'm not going to work an over-concerned parent that says they're in faith and proving by their countenance they're not. They're scared to death or discouraged or full of condemnation because if I'd have been a better parent, they wouldn't be doing this. Now you're condemned. How can you shine?
That's good.
I pastored long enough to see that people do this to themselves. It's all wrapped in lies because look what they produce. When you start believing that stuff, look what it produces. See, it can't have an ounce of truth behind it. Yeah? Look, even if you could have done better with your children, at what point do you trust mercy? You know you can't go back and redo it.
Yeah.
They're 30 now. They're 25 now. They ain't 8. So at what point do you call on mercy and say, Lord God, I didn't know what I know now, but man, if I knew it then, I'd have been doing different, and I think I helped, and God, would you please and thank you for it, and oh, I appreciate you.
Yes, yes.
And then you keep walking in the light. But if you let where your child isn't decide where you are, that's a greater deception.
Yes. That's true.
If you let what people don't see decide what you do see, then how are you going to walk in the light? The are you with me on this?
Yes.
Come on. Do you see how simple this is? It's just a little perspective tweak. Yeah. It's that simple. The gospel's simple. A child can get it. Unless you become like a little child, you by no means even see the kingdom. This thing isn't so deep. It's just you and I being restored back to truth, looking through the eye.
Yes.
That's always been there in you.
Yes.
It's that simple. So we aren't praying a prayer to make sure our names are getting in the book of life. We're receiving mercy and forgiveness, getting washed clean of a life that was never intended or never to be, so we can step into the life that always was in Him.
Thank you, Lord.
It's called born again. In America, when we say, hey, are you saved? You know what we're asking? Did you pray that prayer? Did you ever go to the altar and pray that prayer? Did you ever read a tract and pray that prayer? When we say, hey, are you saved? We're saying, did you ever pray that prayer we call the sinner's prayer? But saved actually means healed, delivered, preserved, protected, made whole, kept safe.
Yeah.
So are you saved?
Yes. See, our goal is not to get people to heaven. Our goal is to get heaven back into people.
Yes, yes, yes.
Why? Because the kingdom of God is here. Yes. Jesus said that. That's not my sermon. Jesus said, go preach saying the kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. Mm-hmm. Look up what at hand means. You know what at hand means? It means within reach. Close enough to touch. It's within reach. Why? Because when you're telling them that, the kingdom's in you. You're close enough to reach.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you're saying is, they say, where is it? You're looking at it.
Heaven on earth.
We women taught to think that's blasphemous or something.
Yeah.
That's heresy, but it's scriptural.
Yes, yes.
So then the lies get us to talk ourselves down, and we think it's humility. And then lift him up. You're never going to lift him up by talking yourself down. You're going to lift him up by living where he is in you.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
What an honor.
Yes, sir.
That God would pay a price to put his life inside of us. And to think that I used to just be caught up with he said, she said, tit for tat, well, I feel, well, I'm mad, well, I don't know why they, well, they always got. I lived that way for 33 years.
Yep.
And the best I could do at times was be right. Therefore making whoever wrong and producing zero life.
Yeah.
So I died to that so I could live to another. Got born again. You know, I'm so passionate about it because when I got saved, the night I got saved, it had nothing to do with going to heaven. My conversion had zero to do with eternal life. I actually liked that. There was zero self involved. I just did not want to live another day the man that I saw I was. It still wants to make me cry. I was so selfish inside. I realized my life was such a zero. I didn't even like me. I wanted you to like me to prove I was likable. But in my heart, I didn't like me at all. That's why I needed you to. So it made me desperate, insecure. My life was nothing because I was living it for man. Unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. I saw how lonely I was in my life, how zero I was. I was married, I had two children, didn't even know how to love them. I was so selfish, I didn't even have the maternal, the parental things in me that you should have. I was so selfish, I was so lost. And the night I got saved, I realized just how wretched I was on the inside. And my goal of salvation wasn't to go to heaven someday. It was to never live another day the man that I was looking at. So I cried and I gave that man to him. And asked him to come inside of me and make me a brand new man. A changed man, a new creation, transformed. And I've been praising, because there's been change. I've changed. I feel like I changed like a light switch. Why? Because I put something off and put something on. You say, what takes time to change? I changed in so many ways overnight, it was amazing. Because I sincerely put things off and cried out to him to put things on. I decided in my heart and said, God, you've got to help me, but I'm done living self-centered. And if I'm living selfish in any way, show me, expose it. I'd say this to Holy Spirit. Kick me in the behind if you have to, but don't let me live that way. It was amazing how I changed. And all of a sudden this selfless thing was there, and preferring others and valuing people and seeing the value of my family. And oh my goodness, for the first time in my life, I knew what freedom was. Because I was done worrying about me. He was dead.
It's so the way it's supposed to be.
Do you know how many people in this country are tricked into being Christians for themselves? How many people go to God for what they can get from Him? They go to God with trouble. They go to God with their spouses. They go to God with their kids. They read a little more, pray a little more when things are tight. That's a giveaway. That you don't understand why you come to God. And you'll never really truly, in that place, enter into a covenant with Him. You'll just tap into Him when you need Him more. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Come on, this stuff isn't harsh. It's just sobering and good. It's like, whoa, yeah. Yeah. So just realign the dial tonight. Just go, whoa. Because if a seed does die and fall to the ground, guess what it's going to do? Spring up, and guess what it's going to do? Bear much fruit. And then guess what God's going to do? He's going to come and trim you and prune you and make you even prune down more so you can bear even more fruit. He's into fruit. So it's not like go to more church, it's bear more fruit. But you can't do that unless the seed dies and falls to the ground. So let me just challenge you and be honest, okay? If you're carrying care, frustration, offense, anger, rightness, jealousy, competitiveness, discouragement, all those things are the platform of you thinking for you. None of those places can live without the landing strip of self-centeredness. You couldn't be discouraged if you weren't thinking for you and how it's affecting you, what it's putting you through, what it's costing you. If you were thinking first for the kingdom, you couldn't be discouraged. It's the secret behind Jesus' life, but it's not a secret. He was selfless. He wasn't hanging on the cross, screaming at the people or crying to God in a pitiful way. He was like, God, I just can't believe they don't understand I'm good. This really hurts. Like, I did legitimate good. Look at these nails in my hand. They don't think so. Could you picture Jesus just like sitting on a rock, bummed out? Could you? Well, why is that a normal picture for humanity? Calling for prayer to be encouraged. Prayer to be encouraged? No, get a new perspective. You don't need prayer. You need truth. There's a difference between the two.
Yeah.
We're a very prayer-crazed community, the body of Christ. You don't need prayer in a lot of these things. You need truth.
Yes,
could you picture Jesus just sitting on a rock, bummed out? Peter walking by saying, what's the matter, Lord? Jesus just kind of, nothing, Peter. Then he just wrapped his arm and said, Lord, I've never seen you like this. Are you okay? I mean, I'll probably be okay. It's just, there's just some things on my mind, Peter, that bother me. I mean, I just do good. They just keep picking and back. Right? I mean, the other day when I multiplied the food, wasn't that cool? Oh, dude, that was cool. Yeah, it was really cool. But you know, the next day when they came back, it was just because I fed their bellies. They don't care about what I'm saying. I mean, I spoke so much truth to these guys, Peter, and I'm feeling like if they didn't change by now, why do I think they're even going to change? They don't care. They don't love me. They just need me. You know how it feels to just be needy and not love? Peter, I was doing it, and then John walks over. Lord, are you okay, John? Can I lay my head on you again? Can we just trade places? Please, John, just hold me. Oh, Lord, my privilege. Lord. Just feel a little bum. You know why it's so hilarious? Because it's so hilarious. Because he's so not like that. So where did we learn to be like that? Not from him. He's the light of the world.
Yes.
He's the new and living way.
Come on.
He's not our way, the way. He's the door. He said, follow me. So if we didn't learn these things from him, where would we learn them? And why do we hold to them as if they're truth when they don't produce life?
Yes.
The last thing you and me Need is a reason to stay the same if it doesn't look like him. If our same doesn't look like him, why are we trying to stay there? A lot of us have justifications for where our lives are. Why wouldn't be in this place if it wasn't for this? But your this is in Lord.
Come on.
So now we reduce ourselves back to needs meeting gospel, prayer to feel better instead of see different. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Okay. You're changing on me a little bit. They're shifting on me, Jason. No, they're not. They're not. We're good. We're good. I'll bring that half a man up here. I said, if you keep living this way, that's what you're going to look like. A half a man. Come on, rise up, brother. Come on, this is the gospel. I have preached nothing hard, difficult, complicated tonight. It's the heart and intention of God in sending His Son. Put His life and His nature and His ways on the inside of us. Why? Because it's why we're here. It's the only reason man's on the earth, because He made man to express His image. You're going to express something in your life. The reason you have flesh is to act out what's on the inside. Yeah? Come on, God is spirit. He made us in His image. He didn't make a spirit. Isn't it amazing? He said, let us make man in our image, in our own likeness. He can't be talking about facial features because He's spirit. He can't be talking about head, arms, legs. He's God's spirit. The image that He's talking about is His nature.
Yes.
And He put him in a body to act out this thing. That's why He said you'll know them by their fruits. Clean the inside of the cup and the outside will be clean. We've been trained to live on the outside, to look at the outside, to assess by the outside. When this has changed, the outside will be real. Yeah? So here we are in this kind of human puppet show without being puppet mastered to the degree that the puppet show is. We have a God saying, here's my word, follow me. And you got an enemy trying to infiltrate that and reproduce himself after his country. So you got this war going on. And we're in the middle of it. And we have the privilege of manifesting the Lord. You know how we got real stiff-necked in churches over the years? The holy hush day, can't make a sound, can't move. Couldn't even have a drum in the church, couldn't get loud. But you could sure yell at a brother. Can't be charismatic, but let somebody pull out in front of Let somebody do you wrong. Watch how people all rant when nobody's looking. Just rant. But you can't lift two hands to God and say He's holy. But boy, you can. Things twisted. There's a war. You got God and His Spirit wanting to live in you and live through you, and you got the enemy wanting to reproduce himself. Mm-hmm. It's a sobering thought. It's a sobering thought. I don't teach on revelations at all because I just don't feel like it's ever necessary because it doesn't have anything to do in that moment with everyday purpose. But I'll touch things now and then. People ask questions about end times and stuff a lot of times because they're afraid. I'm thinking, just live for everyday purpose and everything will make sense when it. You just live with a resume. You leave a legacy. You walk with Jesus and you won't be confused.
Yeah.
One of the reasons this whole end times thing was such a hot topic, especially in the 80s and 90s, is because people were afraid. And a lot of people saying, the time is here. And there's people freaking out, getting in survival mode, and covering up their fear with, well, we just want to be prepared to help everybody out.
You still got them beans in your basement in that box for the last 35 years. You still got them beans. They just sat there. For the last 40 years, you got them kits and you got them survival kits. Who knows what I'm talking about? But there's some of our revelations that astounds me. It's always talking about God marking his people and stamping their foreheads. And it talks about the 666, and we all see the movies and we see like these people walk in a room and it's like they pop right across their forehead like this brand six burn fresh into their head. And then they always make them like a zombie. It's just so funny. I don't think it's going to be like that at all. 666 means the number of men. It's just the nature of man, the expression of man. 666, it's the number of men. It's just everything about 666 means it's just all about man. It's man. God's going to mark his people, right? What's he talking about? Wonder if it's not an actual number. Wonder if he's talking about nature. Wonder if God marks those that are his, that are given to him. Not those that prayed a prayer. Those that are his, wonder if he marks them with his nature. Wonder if the people that aren't his aren't marked with his nature. They're marked with another nature. And wonder if it's the nature of man. Which is really the nature of the enemy.
That's good.
Because man without God is selfish. And nobody ever wins in self-centered. Ain't that something? Jesus never said to pray a prayer to go to heaven. He said, if you really want to come after me, there's something you got to do. You got to deny yourself. Why? You're never made for you. You're always made for his image. You're always made to express him. You're made for his glory. You weren't made for you. The first thing Jesus said we have to do if we're going to follow him and come after him is deny ourselves. Why? Because that's the biggest lie on the planet. Every day, men waking up, living for themselves when they're made for his image. Come on, it's not politics. It's not the president. It's not ISIS. It's not the devil. Not politics. It's not the devil. It's we got all these reasons. What's the problem? It's every day men wake up and live for themselves when they were made for God's image. This is a worse scenario. Every day, without realizing that Christians wake up and live for themselves, and they have half a truth: his love, his forgiveness, but maybe not transformation. Are you with me?
Yes.
It doesn't surprise me we got so many half-truths out there. Because they are very damaging. Sometimes half-truth is way worse than a flat-out lie.
Yes.
Because it's half-true and you can't discern it. You don't even look to discern it because you can hear some truth in it. Half-truth is a tactic in the enemy. Jesus isn't the way, the half-truth, and the life. Pilate asked him if he was a king. He said, for this reason I came. To reveal the truth. He didn't say half the truth. He showed us what life looks like in the Father. He's amazing. And then he invited all of us in by saying, follow me. Man, don't let this be anything else in your own heart. Come on, I'm talking to you tonight. You be the steward of your own heart, not another person. Don't listen to what I'm saying, hoping your spouse is listening. Make sure you hear what I'm saying, so you have a right view of your spouse. Can you imagine one person standing before the Lord, looking into his fiery eyes of love and righteousness on that day, and going, oh, you know, Lord, I would have did a better job if it wasn't for my spouse. I mean, I prayed and prayed. You had to hear me pray. I prayed a lot for you to change me, right? You just didn't seem to ever hear my prayer or move on that. I would have done better if it wasn't for them. Could you even imagine trying to pull that off in the light of who he is? And blaming your life on another person?
Letting another person be realized as the Lord of your life in the presence of the Lord. Because Lord means supreme being, ruling factor, governing factor. The ultimate law. So when you let where your spouse is and decide where you are, you've let them step into lordship. And then instead of overcoming evil with good, you repay evil for evil. Instead of toning a harsh word down with a kind word, you flare back. And now you're right back to square one as if he never came. Loving your own life and singing in his name. Don't ever get religious on yourself. Be a sad day stand before him and find you were religious. Come on, that's not mean. That's just sober. I said it with a big, gentle smile. I don't feel one mean bone in my body. I'm just smiling as big as ever. You'd be amazed how people listen to sermons for each other. Sarah, I hope she's listening. She got to be getting in her gum wrapper right now. Right now. She got that spirit of distraction. You found spirit of distraction. Get off the wall. And the whole time God's trying to speak to you. Because you're letting her decide you. And all your prayers for her, all you're doing is watching for her, waiting for the day she changes. But what about you? How are you walking in the light? If the way you're thinking towards others, you couldn't find God ever thinking that way towards you, then don't let it be in your life. Well, they just make me mad. Could you picture God? You come up to the altar call, and this voice says, ain't happening tonight. I'm still trying to get over you. Could you imagine I had this humble altar call? He comes out and plays so sweet, and you come down here. And his voice says, oh, now you come. I gave you the best chance 6 months ago, and you ignored me. And I'm not sure I stand with that, pal, because you sure caused a lot of hell and pain the last 6 months. In fact, it's good I don't sleep, because you'd have kept me up. Tell you what, I have a meeting with the 24 hours. I'll get a hold of you tomorrow and let you know where we're at. But I need time. You broke my heart once. I'm not sure I need to get it broke again. Anybody ever talk to anybody like that? Could you imagine God doing that to anyone? Well, then where did we learn that mindset? Where did we learn that heartbeat? Where did we learn that way? Because it's not the way.
Okay. That's good.
Oh, I hope I challenge you.
That's good.
Challenge you real good. Because if you let stuff like that matter more than what matters most, you will never shine. And you'll go to church and you'll mean well and you'll bless your food and your prayers will be sincere. But you'll stand before him and realize you missed the greatest part of walking in love. And you've let other things matter more. If we miss become in love, we've missed the whole point of my kingdom. It's the greatest commandment. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the purpose of the commandment is love. The goal of our instruction is love. It's two different translations. King James, New King James. The whole purpose of the scripture is love. Through a pure heart, clear conscience, and sincerity. Not to go to heaven. Do you hear how that crept in the church? That's self-centered. That's what I could get out of him instead of what I can become because of him. There's a difference between the two. The message we preach benefits us and maybe never transforms us. We still have a right to have an attitude towards our co-worker. Because you didn't have to work beside him for the 12 years I did. Now. Well, come on. I've been around us. I've been a pastor. I've heard it all. I mean, one of the biggest prayer requests is pray that I get a new job. I can't stand where I work. I'm so tired of being mistreated. I don't know why God lets them do it to me. I thought he loved me. I don't know why he lets my boss treat me that way. And they think that the whole reason they're a Christian is for God to give them what they want and take care of them where they live. Instead of go into the job and see the boss through his eyes and shine as a light in the midst of his perversity. And stay on that job and be a living example and a living epistle and shine as a light rather than run and stay the same. So God gives you a new job, and then what? You go with the same old attitude, and then you need another new job. And somebody else becomes your issue, and now you got a list of issues. See how you get the life subscription? And after 25 years, your heart gets so hard, you don't even realize it, and you leave worship. No offense. I'm not talking to you. And you leave worship because you have a gift, but you haven't seen. Your heart's hard because you got 20 reasons in 20 years why you should feel that way. And you talk about it like it was yesterday. I've seen that. It's tragic. Well, you don't know what I've been through, Pastor. Why aren't you talking about what he's been through? Why is the focus still on you? But you don't know what they did to me. What did they do to him? When do you understand that? And say, oh my goodness, I'm going to learn. Not be mad. And I don't know why God has an answer. I don't know why God lets him keep treating me this way. Who's ever heard people talk like that? That's a sign that they don't have a clue why he's inside of them. They still think he's here to serve them instead of shine through them. Are you with me? Yeah. Oh, I'm here to challenge your heart. To get you to actually believe that you can live this way. And that any time you find yourself offended, it's like, whoa, you see it quickly for what it is and turn from that back. Because if you start throwing away the right, you won't bear the fruit of that thing. If you start throwing away the right to be offended, you won't bear the fruit of offense. Your heart will never run the risk of getting bitter. It's all over. You'll stay sharp. You'll stay cutting in. That sure beats just going to church, serving in the ministry.
Yeah.
Calling that Christianity. Sorry. Sure beats that. I don't know why I'm saying this other than I'm just going to have to say it because it's here. Some of us have gotten so used to being mean or mad or angry, we think it's normal. And God's not that way. It didn't say for God was so fed up, so frustrated with humanity, he finally sent his son. He said, God said, love. Our parents, some of our parents meant well and said, well, you broke God's heart. You never broke God's heart. His heart was breaking for you. You just hurt the heart of God. You don't hurt the heart of God. God hurts for you. He's secure. He's not selfish. He's not offended. This idea that we made God cry needs thrown out the door. Where sin abounded, grace came greater.
Yes.
Say God cried.
Yes.
Once.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Because there's a lie of condemnation in there, and there's a thing of works that gets in there, and next thing you know, we're living to be pleasing to the Lord instead of living as if he's pleased to love us.
Yes.
There's a difference.
Come on.
Mm. Are you with me?
Yes.
So I'm just telling you, when your mama meant well and said you broke God's heart, you did not break God's heart. You really disappointed the Lord. No. He just knows you more than what you did. And his love never failed.
That's right.
On your darkest day, he didn't change his
mind. Come on.
Because he saw you for what he made you be. And he paid the price for you to step into.
Yes. Yes.
It's called born again.
I suggest you all get there. That's my article. Get there. Right now. That's my article. I made that awesome, dude. That's the best article ever.
You ain't born again? Get there. You know what that looks like? You from the heart. Oh my goodness, Lord, there's been so much selfish stuff. When he's talking, I know. Been hurt this, been this, no front. I've been irritated at my spouse because they ain't been doing this and this. Wow. Now I need to get over me and die to me and stop thinking of me so much. Start thinking more about you and what you look like in me and through me. Man, I want to send a different message to the world around me because you sure sent a clear one to me. He said, simple, thanks for loving me. I believe you forgive me everything I've ever done. I want to follow you. That sure beats just praying a prayer to get something. Because I'll tell you what, this thing will have expression to it if you come in this way. You'll go to work different. You'll respond different today. You won't live up and down. Like, see, I teach this all the time because it's been taught to me by the Lord. Like, honestly, I'm not saying this in a weird, self-righteous way. I don't preach what I heard another man preach, ever. None of this stuff did I listen to someone preach. I learned it in my bedroom, and he taught it to my heart. And he taught it to my life. And as I lived it, he gave me a voice to proclaim it. So there's nothing I'm preaching that I'm not walking in or living. That's why I'm so confident and bold. Let her rip. Serious.
Yeah.
I had plenty of chances to live on the things. I guess. But I mean, in circumstances arise, we all have opportunities to make choices. But wonder if your choice is settled and you don't have lines in your life to cross back over. Wonder if there are lines of no return. Wonder if you don't have options. Wonder if you have the way. I wonder if you get so in that thing that it's just the way. So wonder if you're not trying to be heard, trying to forgive. Wonder if you just don't have a grid for unforgiveness. Wonder if your heart's not heard, no matter what they did, no matter who they were. Wonder if you actually get your eyes and your heart trained to see for the truth by being with him. And all of a sudden you're not a mess because a mess was done. Isn't that awesome? I'm here to tell you, you can be okay in the midst of it all. You say, yeah, but I'm going through such emotional abuse, Pastor. You don't understand. Watch this. Be sensitive with me, as I'm going to say this as straight as I can, but it doesn't mean I'm being insensitive, so don't judge what I'm saying too quick. What? You can only emotionally abuse someone who doesn't know who they really are. And they're still needing from someone. You try to emotionally abuse me. You'll get emotionally abused. You can emotionally abuse me. I know who I am. I know who I woke up to be this morning. I've been with you. I didn't wake up for anything from you. I woke up to be more like him this way. I wonder if you live that way in your marriage. I wonder if you live that way in your home. I wonder if your spouse didn't know you a thing and insecurity was ended because of your closeness and relationship with Jesus. I wonder if they didn't need to say the right thing to make you feel okay because you already feel okay. So when they say the right thing, it's actually healthy instead of need.
I wonder if you were actually fulfilled in Christ instead of fulfilled in your spouse.
That sounds like a healthy man. Because all of a sudden nobody can fail you, even him or her. Because if I'm only okay because they're doing it right, well then I'm not okay.
That's good.
So my life is contingent on another. And their name's not Jesus. Oops. Ain't that something? You see how powerful walking in love is? that makes this thing I'm telling you real. There was a season my wife was in identity crisis. She just was believing some lies about herself. She valued herself no matter what I said to her. She would listen. She said she believed what she believed and looked at me and believed it. And it crushed her on the inside. And it took her identity out for about 8 years. 8 years, my wife. There was several years my wife wouldn't even come to church with me, and I was a full-time pastor. Do you know how many spouses would put pressure on their wife who's not coming to church because of the pressure it puts on him because of the position he holds? And now you're trying to tell her why she needs to, and I got enough on my plate, and now people are asking me, and the least you can do is get over yourself enough to come and support me in all I'm called to do. Hello? Do you think those conversations are ever had behind the scenes by people? In ministry? To where it's obligatory and compulsion? I never had that conversation with my wife. She was in trouble. She was hurting. She was deceived. She needed Jesus more than ever. He happens to live in me. Yeah. Now is probably not the day to be a frustrated, tired husband. Probably a day to be more like him. Yay. So 8 years doesn't give you time enough to make an excuse, because time doesn't, and truth doesn't remain. In other words, truth doesn't know time. Because heaven and earth are going to pass away. And guess what's going to remain? His word. Probably ought to live in it now. Rather than these phone calls. Brother Jason, I just need you to pray with me, man. I don't know how long I can keep doing this, buddy. I'm about ready to crash, man. If God doesn't break me soon, I'm going to break through. We need to break through soon. I can't take much more. And a funny example, because he wouldn't say this to me. And then wonder if he would say, oh, brother, I can't even imagine how you feel. Man, I'm surprised you stood this long. I don't know how you do it, John. Me and Jeff was just talking about how long you've been doing this. We don't even know how you're getting through, man. But we've been praying, brother.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what's cool when I'm telling you these stories? It never even dawned on me to call anybody to pray for nothing, because I was okay. Because I don't wake up for my wife to love me. I wake up to be more like him.
So guess what happened? My wife got loved by him. The whole 8 years.
Yeah. And it didn't cost me anything but myself in the beginning. So it didn't carry a heavy price while it was happening. That's the biggest price we already paid. And all I ever gave was what I never was anyway. Everything Jesus asked of me was what I never was created to be. Self-centered. I was never created to live for me. So why is it so hard to give back what was never given? I was never created to live for me. So why is it so hard to give that up when it was never you in the first place? Paul, I pray you get this. I said enough for one night. I did. We're going to pray for some folks, though. Y'all good? You guys good?
Yeah.
Y'all look so serious the last half hour. Watch this. Let me challenge you all with one more thing. Since I got the clap out of you, see, now I can challenge you one more time. Since I already got the clap. Right. I was trying to get that clap. You guys just clap. I didn't ask him to clap, did I? But is there one thing I preach tonight that you can't live if you wrap faith around it apart from any situation, person, or circumstance in your life? There's not one thing I preach that you can't give yourself to apart from any other person in your life. You can have four people in your family that want nothing to do with God. You still have to answer, what are you going to do with them? And you still have to walk certain things out, and it still has a precariousness, maybe some real actions to it. But you can set your heart on him. And settle the fact that you're done being decided by what's not him.
Well, that's good.
And you talk to him about that. And you ask Holy Spirit to help you. And you commune with him. And you relate to him. You pray to him. You can't just walk out of here and live what I preach. You become what I preach. And it's only through relationship. So you have to believe that you're unveiled, you have access to God. He's made you his bride. You come to him boldly. You say, yeah, but brother, I don't feel confident. You are confident. You come to him boldly because he loves you. Why are you yet a sinner? He sent the Son. Come on.
Yes. Yes.
Just listen to a couple songs we sang tonight. The message was so in those couple songs. You come to God. Come to Father, I don't want to just be blessed by you. I want to become what you paid for. I give myself to you to best understand and ask you, Holy Spirit, to empower me to begin to live in a selfless way and make me what that looks like. God, I give myself. And then as you read and hear about Jesus, you look at his life, really in your own heart, I would encourage you, without getting into legalism, read your Bible often, not to quote it or to qualify. Read your Bible to know him.
Yes.
Because as you read your Bible, man, it's the word of life, right? It's the bread of life. Whoa. And a man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You know why Jesus said that to Satan, don't you? Because he didn't have to say that. He could have just said the first part. He was 40 days in the wilderness, right? Fasting. Why? They were 40 years wandering. He came and in 40 years fulfilled what they failed in 40 days. He just went into the same wilderness where they failed for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in 40 days, he was tempted at every point, yet without sin. Seeking God, and Satan coming and tempting him. When he comes out of the water baptismal, John baptizing, what happened? The Spirit of the Lord, what? Poor Jesus, what did God say? This is my beloved Son. Woo-hoo! So what's the devil? The first test of the devil. What's he say? He waits till he's hungry. 40 days, and he hungered. Why? In the average human being, anywhere from 21 to 40 days of complete fast is finished where hunger returns. Because actually, people don't realize it. You know, we just love our hamburgers, so we think we'll die in a day if we don't eat. Right? Second day, we're almost dead. If we make it to the second day, third day is definitely you're dead, right? That's what we think. No, actually, after the third day, your body realizes, hey, ain't feed me, ain't putting nothing in the oven, I'll shut down, do some house cleaning and whatever. And your body goes into fast mode, and actually, for end of the first week, second week, you don't even think about food. You're not even hungry well into a fast. Because your body's doing a different thing. It's cleaning and beaten up on and organs. Fast is healthy and amazing. But after a certain point of time, depends on extra body weight, size of the person, anywhere from 21 to 40. This is natural fact stuff. This is science stuff. It's not just scripture stuff. The body will return to hunger. After you cross that line, that's where you would go into starvation. Your body goes into true hunger mode, like, whoa, hunger. Well, that's what it says. It said after 40 days, he hungered. It didn't say he thirsted. Why? Because he was drinking water. He just wasn't eating food. So what's the devil do? He waits till he's hungry. He comes to him, and guess what he says to him? He says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. We're all thinking, well, he's trying to get him to use his power and do this and that. And tell him, but I mean, if you think about it, what would have been the big deal if he had the ability to do that and he was hungry? So Jesus is so sharp. What's the devil do? He comes on the heels of God's saying, if you are a son, turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone. What he's doing is, he just came off 40 days of fast. So his flesh is subdued, right? His spirit is wow. He talks spirit. It's the whole purpose of a fast, to subdue the carnal nature, to crush the cry of the flesh. You know how I'm not comfortable. I'm hot. I'm tired. I'm cold. Fasting will take the cry of your flesh and submit it. Oh, it will. Then you'll be ready to go on a mission trip. Don't we live for comforts? Don't we notice when we're not comfortable? Fasting suppresses that carnal nature, that cry of the flesh. Raises up your awareness of the Spirit of God. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. So he's not submitting to just boom. Right? And then he says this, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I wasn't saved very long. I was sitting on my bed. Please ask him a lot of questions when you read the Bible. I said, Lord, I understand why, you know, man doesn't live by bread alone. But why did you throw that second part, even though it sounds awesome? Why? Where's that fit with the answer? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I heard in my heart a question. When I asked him that question, I heard in my heart, well, where did I just come from? And I backtracked. He just came from Baptist. And then the Spirit led him what? So the last thing that was said by God was, this is my beloved Son. So what's the Satan saying? If you're a son, do something to prove. Prove that you're the son. What Jesus is saying, I ain't got to turn no stone into no bread. I ain't got to do nothing. I'm a son because he said I'm
yes.
a son. Man lives by every word that proceeded
yes.
out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
And you heard it too. He said, I'm his boy.
Yes.
I'm his boy.
Yes.
And I ain't doing nothing. That's what Jesus was doing. See, trying to get him to do to be.
Right.
Instead of letting his being decide his do.
Yes, yes. That's good.
What did he do to Eve? Did God really say? Well, yes, he said, oh, come on, God just knows that you eat the tree. Oh, my goodness, you'll be like him. She already was made in his image. He's already made in his likeness. He was saying, do something.
Yeah.
And from the beginning, it's been be something to do something. Right? And man, have we gotten that backwards. The first temptation, if your son prove it, I'm a son because he said so.
Yes.
I ain't got to do nothing. But then his life looked like a son, didn't it? Why? Because he believed what he said. Ain't that something? Let me pray something over you, and then we're going to close out with prayer. I know it's probably getting late for some folks. No, it's actually, it's only 10 to 9, isn't it? I'm from Eastern time. It's 10 to 10 to me, so I got you by an hour. You see how run down I am. So if I'm still here, you got to hold out. I got you by an hour. So when it's 11, you can't be saying, but it's 11 because it'll be 12. No, I'm just kidding. Boy, I foam it out when I go to the West Coast. We start at 7 and it's 10. And then they see this. And then it's 9 their time and it's midnight and they see this. I just keep stretching. Let me pray something over you, then we're going to do something to close out, okay? Father, I just thank you for this room tonight of folks, hungry hearts, sincere hearts. I thank you for the freedom to just speak freely, what I'm convicted by, what I believe to be true in you. And not only what I've read, but what I've enjoyed living for a long time now to me. And I just pray that it speak volumes to the heart of every individual and increase influence and godliness. And just a walk that looks more and more like you. Lord, if we in this room, the number in this room, would begin to live this way at some level, my, would the world see you in a better light? The influence we would have. Thanks for giving us those spheres of influence. Thanks for giving us an answer in you. So I pray this message would find a home in every heart, and more than that, in every life. I pray that no man, woman, or child would grow weary in well-doing. That we'd never turn back to getting consumed with ourselves. Because we've seen the beauty of who you are. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name, that this room of people would run well. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so let's do this. We can do this without, it won't have to take a real super long time. But we won't pray for the sick, can we? Okay? I'm going to get you guys to help me. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to line everybody up. That would be a bummer. It would. It would be a bummer. And even if somebody would get healed, here's the thing would be the bummer. That it would be because we line everybody up and there's a certain person praying for people. It was never intended to be that way. Listen, Jesus likes what we're about to do, I promise you. I've been doing this for a long time. I probably did it when I was your age. These signs shall follow those who
believe.
It doesn't say those who are gifted, those who are in leadership, those who are pastors. These signs shall follow those who
believe.
Now, if I ask you in this room, who's believers here, without saying that scripture, everybody that says they're a Christian would raise their hand and say they're a believer.
Well, then I got to get you praying for each other, because it says that these signs shall follow those that believe. They will lay their hands on the sick. So the first sign of a believer isn't the person getting healed, it's you laying your hands on them. The reason people don't pray for the sick is because they're afraid nothing will happen. And because they're afraid nothing will happen, they don't pray, so they always get what they're afraid of. Nothing, because they never pray.
That's right.
Or they turn their name in to a prayer list. I'm not being cynical, and I'm just saying. But here's the scripture. If you believe, you're going to lay whose hands? Your hands. So I'm going to just believe you're all believers tonight. I'm going to get you involved. It's going to be so fun. Jesus likes when we do this. Because it takes the attention off of one man and puts it on one man.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And that way we don't do this weird thing like, oh, he's gifted, he has a healing ministry, he's this, you gotta get him to pray. Listen, I've learned the hard way. I'm one fella, and there is a lot of people on the earth. You have no idea. I used to not teach and train and equip. I just was zealous and prayed for everybody I could. I'd visit everybody in the hospitals. I'd go to everybody's family member in the nursing homes. And because I prayed for so many people, I had testimony. Not everybody I prayed for did I see just leap to their feet. But I seen it. And because I seen it, people knew I seen it, then I was the candidate. And I got to pray. So then people, please don't do this to me. It hasn't happened for a few weeks, but it happens too much. People pull up at my house, unannounced, watch me on YouTube, and just knock on my door. You say, well, they did that stuff to Jesus. Yeah, that's because he was the only one. That's actually a sad day when they do that. Because they have home churches, most of them, pastors, Bible studies, prayer groups, men's meetings. They're coming to my house because they think I got a special anointing. I got the same anointing you do. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
I've got a little more experience maybe. I've seen some neat things and I understand he gives gifts to men. But listen, if it was the way we make it with healing, there's no one man to carry that thing. There's so much need. Or he just had to sit in a chair 24/7 and everybody just roll by. And he just put intravenous, just feeding, a little leg bag, a little catheter, a little zippy bag. And you would never get through the line if that was the case. I'm just saying. Don't get offended, Adam. You watch what God does in this room tonight, because he likes what we're about to do. He likes when believers believe. So let's just do it this way. You good? You ain't walking out of my preaching, right?
No. I'm coming back.
When you pray for the sick, keep it simple. It's all about his finished work. Please don't get self-conscious. Anybody that's prayed for the sick knows that this happens right away. As soon as you go to pray for the sick, you try to pray right, powerful, or spiritual. And we get more conscious about what we're about to say than what we believe about what he did. Who knows that's true? Who's ever prayed for the sick and you really thought about your prayer? That's a good reason why a lot of times nothing happens. I'm just saying. I mean, literally, nothing happens, like, for the long run. Now, I understand there's nothing changes immediately in a situation. That doesn't mean nothing's happened. You have to believe. You've got faith around stuff. We just prayed for a man today. And I just said, man, I'm just excited about change. Just believe. If they don't just jump to their feet, you don't just turn it into a hit and miss, win or lose, here we go. Come on! That's why we get so self-conscious when we pray, because we're trying to get the big commandment. And we're trying to say it right and get it right so God does it. And that's all works. That has nothing to do with the finished work, and that's a good way to shut down the move of God's
yes,
Spirit.
That's right.
When you think it's the way you pray or how you pray, it's a good way to shut things down. Are you with me?
Yes.
It's just simple. It's what you believe about what he accomplished and his unfailing love for the individual you're praying for.
Yes, yes.
And there is one thing, and this gets a little testy with folks, but I'm just going to say, if you're going to be a believer, then you have to believe God wants to heal people.
Yes.
And we have to stop fighting over that because we all lost loved ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pray. We all lost loved ones while praying. So then we come up with analogies and theologies to hurt, help our hurting hearts, but it's at the cost of truth. Truth makes us free. Now we got a bigger problem.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. My mother passed of sickness a bunch of years ago to me at a young age, 68. And I don't have my mama on the earth today. But she's with Jesus, so I can wrap my faith around that and say thank you for the gospel.
Amen.
But it doesn't change the truth about his finished work just because my mama died.
That's right.
I can't let my mama die and change what he taught me through his life.
Come on.
Come on, I'm being real with you. That's pretty personal, a son and a mama. I had a good mama, too. She was there for me always. Dad was alcoholic, he wasn't there. Mama was there. You tend to get close to your mama. I lost her to sickness, but that doesn't change a thing about the truth. We're all growing. We're all learning. Come on, be honest with me. Some of us are still growing just to maintain a healthy attitude on a consistent basis.
Yep.
We don't even have authority over our attitude, and we want to have authority over others. I'm just using that as an example, not a works thing, saying, well, if you get that straight, you heal. No, what I'm saying is we're all growing in things.
Yeah.
We're getting past fears and doubts, right? Insecurities, or the fact that we prayed for three people and didn't see any change. Now we're praying for the fourth, and we got that little O for three thing going. I'm just being relatable. Look, it doesn't matter. It's not about O for three. It's about he said.
Yes.
He said. No, yes. Grow into he said.
Come on.
You just don't tell them you're O for three. I'm going to pray for you. I've never seen anybody heal. But I found it in the Bible, so come on. Anyway. Let's be honest. I can pray for 16 people with cancer. And honestly, and I'm just being facetious a little bit. I can pray for 16 with cancer and everyone die. The Bible hasn't changed.
That's right.
I can't find truth through the 16 passing. He's the truth. I find truth through him.
Yes,
if I'm finding God through my experience, I'm going to miss the truth that's already revealed about the Father through the Son.
Come on. That's good.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not letting life define the Father. Jesus already did.
Yes.
When you see me, you've seen him.
That's right.
He's his expressed image, the outrunning of his brightness. He said, I only do the will of him who sent me. So if I see it in Jesus' life, I've found the will of God. So I have to settle, it is the will of God to heal and restore and not be offended that my mother passed.
Yes, yes.
Because that's called loving less your mother so you can see the kingdom. It says, unless you love less your father, your mother, your spouse, your children, your house, your land, yes, your own life, you're by no means, no means, you're by no means be my disciple. What's he saying? If you let the things on your list that are dear to you matter more than the kingdom, you'll never see the kingdom because something will get in the way. And you'll lose your mama and you'll stumble and some will bother you and you won't release faith because and if and well and she. And... You with me?
Yes.
4 months after my mother passed, I watched somebody get completely healed in the service of the same thing she died. That was humbling and awesome. And he just came. And that lady hadn't moved or walked on her whole side for 5 years. And we watched her body come alive. 4 months after Mama died. Why? Because I won't let my mom dying change what I believe.
Amen.
I'm growing up into him.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yeah? So be in this race with me. And don't let your heart get offended. Thank God for the blood, and let's go after it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.